branding. It's really, really an important thing to talk about.
It requires us to be clear on what we are about.
Excellence matters and beauty matters.
It is one of the ways we do worship God and how we build our churches.
Logos, websites, email, social media, print media.
What are the primary things that you are using to communicate who you are?
It's a missiological issue for us. Welcome to the Lutheran Church Planter, a podcast exploring the theology, philosophy, and practice of planting new Lutheran congregations. I'm your host, Andy Coyle, Church Planter, Director of Home Missions for the Association of Free Lutheran Congregations, joined by my co-host and fellow Church Planter, Matthew Ballman. And we are on Season 3 and Episode 2, right in the middle of the planning phase, as we think about, the question, if someone were to say to you, hey, you have 24 months or 12 months to plant a church, how are you going to do it? And just thinking through all the different steps that go into the planning phase. Last week, we talked about values, just the importance of thinking through your DNA and setting through just the identity of what you're going to try to shape and create. Super important conversation, a lot to that. Today, we're going to talk about the issue of then putting those values in front of people. We're going to talk about how do you communicate those values and develop resources to communicate those values. And so, we're going to be using language like branding or maybe even marketing. And maybe for some, that's going to sound off-putting, but it's really, really an important thing to talk about as we think through how do we have resources to put in front of people to help them understand what we're trying to do, what we're trying to create. And that's going to be a valuable tool for just our engagement phase and any other phase down the road. So it's good now that we have our identity, our DNA, our mission, vision, values, all that kind of language, we have that in place. Now we need to figure out how to present that in a compelling way, in a way that fits with our culture, in a way that's easy, in a way that's useful. So Matt, when we think branding, when we think developing all this, what would you say to someone on why this kind of thing is important?
Yeah, that's a good question to start with, the why behind it. The reason it's important is, I think, a couple things. One, it requires first and foremost us as a church to be clear on what we are about. So we have done, the whole last episode on values and mission, vision, values, what are we about? That is something we want to be communicating, right? We're trying to be good communicators of the gospel, of what is important. So this whole question of your branding and how you communicate, is bringing us to what are we communicating? So that's the very first question it forces you to answer is, what are we trying to communicate? I think another, reason this is really important beyond just do we have clarity on that, is to recognize that people are going and looking at our branding, so things like our website, pamphlets, they are looking at that. That is the number one front door that first-time guests are going to be looking at. Some of the stats online, as they say, roughly 80 to 85% of potential church visitors, they go to the website first. And I think that is absolutely true. That's true for me. I mean, I'm probably at 100% before I go to a restaurant or a store or something just kind of maybe off the normal thing that I would normally go to, I'm 100%. I'm checking out their reviews online on Google Maps, and I'm going to their website. Absolutely. And depending upon how that looks, if it looks, doesn't look nice, a dentist, for example, if I'm going to trust a dentist, a year ago I was at the dentist and I was comparing, probably 10 different dentists. What was I going to? Their website, their reviews, what are people saying about it? What does it look like? Do they take this seriously or not? And that was how I decided where I was going to go. So really important, forces you to, clarify what are you really about? What are you communicating? But two, it's people are asking the question, they're looking at it. So how we go about that and what we're communicating is critical.
Yeah, that's really important. It's just the way the world is right now. And I think all of us know that. It's just how we interact. You mentioned that for yourself too. I think as we start developing our other strategies and actually get on the ground to start planting churches or just do ministry in general, having well put together resources like a website or other things are just really key tools to help communicate who we are and to rally around. And so I think this is why we're talking about this now and maybe not down the road, is because it matters. And we also have the conviction that excellence matters and beauty matters. It communicates. Matt, give us a real brief theology of beauty or excellence and why doing this well is a theological thing.
It really is. Yeah. And especially as a sacramental church body, as Lutherans, you know, we're sacramental. And what does that mean ultimately is we actually believe matter matters. God created the world first and foremost, right? He created it good. Humans very good. But there's a double value put on it because then Jesus came in the flesh, the incarnation, and he bought it all, right? He redeemed it with his holy and precious blood, as we say in the small catechism. You know, what were we even bought with? Not with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So there's kind of this double value put on the created matter. And our buildings, you know, historically, Lutherans, as this great Christian tradition, we say, hey, we want to give God our very best. Go back to the tabernacle. They were bringing their very best. The best craftsmen were coming and, you know, crafting this beautiful place for God to be representative, not only a home for God, a house for God, right? Got where the Shekinah glory resided, but also it was a reflection of God's presence to the people. And it was a means by how they were worshiping God as well, by giving their best. Same thing for the temple with Solomon, right? The Jews continue that with their temples. And Christians, while it is not a necessary thing, it is one of the ways that we do worship God, in how we build our churches and how we communicate who God is and what God is up to in this world. And that connects all the way to our website. Yeah, that's not an overstatement at all to say that we want to present God our very best and we want to be as effective as possible in communicating to a lost and dying world who God is and what the church is and what we are called to and what Jesus is offering to them. And the website is number one front door for folks in our culture. So we want to be a people who really take that seriously and don't, in a sense, be irresponsible with that communication platform.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll talk about the website in a few minutes here. We're going to kind of back up a little bit, but you know, maybe you're a pastor or a congregational leader or part of a launch team and you look around the room and you're like, man, I'm not any good at this. I don't have these kind of giftings to think and develop logos and colors and images and all this kind of tech stuff. I think, so the question of like, who does this then? And it's easy to maybe let that, you know, paralyze us. And yet this is so important. So we're encouraging you, if you're in that stage or even in a church that's 100 years old, find help. There's so many people in the body of Christ that are gifted to do this. And this is really a great lesson is we encourage people to use their gifts to serve the Lord. There are so many people that God has blessed and given gifts that are creatives. So find them. And I would encourage you to maybe find someone outside of your congregation. We all know the stories of when someone inside your church does something and maybe it's not good, but you don't want to offend them. And so then it just sort of stands. It's just, it's tricky, right? You can't critique it. You can't change it. It's just there. In this way, it's better to hire maybe someone outside of your church to help you. Find a professional. We have a number of people in the AFLC that do this kind of stuff, but even outside the AFLC, right? Find someone who's good at it. Look at what they've done and talk to them. And it's just so much easier to critique and to change. And so if you're a pastor or any of these other leaders, start crowdsourcing. Start looking at websites that you like. Start looking at images that you start liking. And just see what you like, what you don't like, and just start developing a better understanding of what's out there and what can be done. So I just encourage you, find help. There's a lot out there. So what is needed? As we talk about the issue of communications, we've got our values, we've figured all this out. Maybe we have a name for our congregation, maybe we don't. But what all goes into the issue of branding?
There's a lot, you know, there's people who have whole, you know, degrees in, you know, branding and focus on this as their career. So there's a lot that goes into it. We're just going to barely kind of touch the top of it here. Branding is the thing that communicates who you are, right? What you feel like, what you value, where you're going, where you're coming from. It's a big thing. You know, very simply, it can be summarized as what are the primary things that you are using to communicate who you are in print and digital format. So what's the one of the number one things is your logo, your name, and some type of graphic that possibly goes with that, right? Logo. Okay. That's a huge. Your color, the colors. What is the main color? When I say, you know, what are the colors of Walmart? Everybody right now is what? You're thinking, oh, blue and yellow. What is the color of Home Depot? Orange. What is the color of, you know, fill in the blank. Say, we know, right? Or what is the logo of Apple? Everyone sees it right off the bat. Why? Because they have been very consistent on what they're communicating, right? And that is the idea with really good branding is, again, we're not saying marketing per se. Branding is something that's a little bit different than marketing. Branding is just simply, are you recognizable of what you stand for? So logo, colors, font, right? That can get into like, even do you have, here are the two or three fonts that we print, we use. What is the feel of our website? Is there a consistent feel and messaging there that people are going to actually recognize us? And here's the thing. There can be a temptation to want to change this all the time, to kind of chase after the latest trends. And that's actually a death knell for effective branding and marketing, is to be constantly changing it. You might update things, but if you have a nice, well-done logo and branding, that is something that should last you for quite some time. And you don't want to be, you can Google, you know, what is a evolution of a Coca-Cola, for example. It's very similar. They'll refresh things, but it's pretty consistent. You know, it's red, right? The kind of the flowy cursive font. And now, you know, generation after generation around the world, everybody recognizes it because they've had that consistency. So I think those are maybe some of the big things, just kind of as a starting place for what is branding. What would you add to that?
Yeah, I'm just thinking about even the historical aspect here of, you know, 100 years ago, 130 years ago, no one thought about this kind of stuff. We weren't an online culture. And yet it existed. But now, given how everyone is online and everyone has excellence with what they're doing, this is why this is more of an issue. And so, yeah, did the church in 1240 think about this kind of? Not really, but it is an issue for us now. It's a missiological issue for us. So this is why it's important. But yeah, it's like, your logo, your messaging, your branding, it's all about creating who you are in a distinct and yet recognizable way. You mentioned that. How does our logo maybe give an impression and tie into our values or identity? What are some ways in which it maybe can support who we are, or maybe negatively impact who we are?
Yeah, this ties into our theology of being, you know, sacramental of matter actually does communicate something. So there are, you get into the business side of this, you know, the psychology of branding and colors, the psychology of colors, right? It's a whole thing. So color blue communicates something that's peace and calm and stable. Something red or bright communicates high energy. So you can look at many new churches, many new church plants that are trying to communicate a certain vibe. I would say a lot of the attractional churches, there's a really good chance their main colors are going to be red and black. Because it's very bold, it's very bright, it communicates something very energetic. So they very clearly understand, right? Hey, we are communicating something in this. When a church is asking that question of what are we really about, it shouldn't be just this very pragmatic, well, we just want to get people in the front door. That's the wrong starting question, I would say, because that's going to just say, well, now we're going to do whatever happens to work. And that's going to get you into some really unhealthy practices if that's what you're allowing to define you. But if we're saying, hey, how are we actually communicating who we are and what we value and what Jesus has called us to do, then you can start getting into like, well, what color should we use and what font should we use? And, you know, what is the feel that people are getting when they're actually reading the things we have put together here?
Yeah. Yeah. Again, like we said earlier, find help. This might be overwhelming. There's a lot of people that can just walk you through the process. But it's really a blessing for you and your new congregation or existing congregation. So let's start getting more practical here. You mentioned the website earlier. Let's just jump to it. one of the key questions when we think about websites is, who is our audience? Who is this website for? And within the church world, you know, the answers are usually, well, it's either kind of designed to be an internal resource for our people, or it's designed to be an external platform, that front door. And just, if you go look at, you know, 50 different church websites, you'll kind of get an idea on what they're trying to do. And some are trying to do everything, but that's a key question. Who are you designing the website for? Because that's going to affect what you put on there and how active or static it's going to be. And just all those things. And so, Matt, you mentioned the idea of the website being the first impression. You gave a statistic, 80 to 85%. It's probably more, just because that's the way we're all wired. But what's important to be on a website at this early stage of a church plant? Like, if for a first impression, what are the things that people are going to be looking for that are going to create credibility and make them intrigued to want to check it out?
Yeah. Timeline. I'm going to maybe timeline this. The website actually is something that should be up before, long before you are even trying to gather. It may just depends on your, you know, your church scenario, mm-hmm. you know, if you're doing a mother daughter plant or parachute sure. plant, but the website can actually, the very first way you're using it is when you're doing fundraising mm-hmm. and actually gathering support.
Yeah.
Because that is also going to be the first place people go. Is, hey, you know, we're trying to raise a prayer team. We're trying to raise finances. Here's what we're about. And you're going to have some type of flyers or pamphlets that you're handing out again with your branding of saying, here's what we're about. That is going to inspire people. It'll be the deciding factor of why some people want to join you or not. And they're going to look at, I remember I met with one guy who was a big financial supporter of us. And he said, hey, one of the reasons, he said, the Lord's blessed us with money and finances, and we want to be a good steward of that. He said, we got here by being a really good steward, and we want to invest it in kingdom work that is actually also seeking to be a good steward. And he said, one of the reasons that we're going to be supporting you, and they supported us at a large thousands of dollars, was, he said, because we sat down, had a whole presentation. He said, I can see you have put work into this, you put thought into this, and you're not doing this haphazardly. And that for a lot of people, for people especially who perhaps who have some means to actually like put a lot into a plant, that is something they're going to be looking for. So as a starting place, even the fundraising phase, you need to have a well-done website just for that, because it does communicate. Again, are you thinking about this? Or are you just like flippant about it? Like, it doesn't really matter. So that's maybe the first thing that anyone who's fundraising needs to be thinking about that. But the second, we need to be on it to that question is communicating. Okay, if there is Christians or unbelievers, right? Those are going to be your two kind of major audiences. Okay, for Christians, perhaps they're moving to a city and they're looking for like, well, what is this church about? Some Christians are looking, most of them are going to be looking for something that they already value. We don't want to do the bait and switch. We want to be really clear about who we are as a church. I think you might get more visitors by doing the bait and switch thing and saying, well, we're not going to really tell people what we're about or what our convictions are. You might get people walking in the door, but your stick ratio is going to be much, much, much lower. Because then when they get in the door and they realize, oh, you're a Lutheran church, or oh, you're, you know, XYZ, they're going to say, that's not what we're about. We're not going to come back. So it'd be better to be really clear about what your theology is, that you are a Lutheran church, that you're a free Lutheran church, you know, what's your stance on key points of doctrine. So you want to have those belief section. That's always a high, you can look at most websites like ours. You can go to the click rate, and it will tell you per page what it is. And usually they're looking at, what are your beliefs? You know, what are your values? What are you just kind of about as a church? Leadership page, that's always going to be a high kind of click thing. But then very, very practically, you need to have front and center multiple places on your homepage, on your landing page. How can people join us? What time is our worship service? How do they find us? What should they be able to expect when they show up on a Sunday morning? That's probably the most important thing for a plant to have front and center on their landing page. Where do you meet? What time do you meet? What should people expect when they show up?
Yeah, that's really good. You can always add a lot of things as you develop and go, you know, more resourcing and stuff like that. But for sure, if you are designing this as a first-time guest, you know, put yourself in their perspective. You know, what would you want to learn? And even that's the value of just going to other church websites and just seeing what's out there, is it helps you to see, okay, yep, this is a good idea or this isn't a good idea. But credibility is a big thing. And there's research out there that's saying, you know, people, about 46% of people judge or an organization's credibility just simply by the website. And you mentioned this earlier about, you can tell if they're serious or not, or what they value. It's really a big thing. And so first impressions are huge. This is your front door. And you mentioned that having this already in place for support raising, really, as you get on the ground and you start meeting with people, you actually have a place to point them to. Hey, learn more about us. Here's our website. Here's a QR code. And so it's really a valuable hub. And I think as we look about other aspects about our website, the cool thing about it is it's just 24/7, 365. It's always there. And so it doesn't matter if someone is up at 3 a.m. and they're wanting to know about your church, they can find it. It's always there. It's this incredible online presence that we know, we're familiar with. Information, it just provides easy access to people about everything that is important. You just referenced that, Matt, about, you know, places and times, location, contact information or calendars, all that kind of stuff. And so just having a simple place to direct people to is so vital at the early stages. But even if you're a church that's 100 years old, it's no different. It's just valuable. This is where people are today. People are online, whether we like it or not. And I think sometimes that's what we're like, we can complain about it and say, I wish it wasn't like that, but it just is. There's nothing we can do about it. It's just the way it is. I mean, what else about the website?
Yeah, I would say, well, a big thing, especially for planters, that anyone, but your thing, planters especially, is this idea of it, how active dynamic and static is it? What that means is, how often are you having to get on there and update stuff? And my encouragement is, make it as static as possible. Okay, unless you have you can hire a staff member, you're paying someone to actively manage it. It can take a lot of time, okay, and valuable time, especially your first couple of years, sitting there tinkering with the website and trying to update the calendar. When you're a small little church plant, you don't need to have a Google calendar on your website that you're constantly having to update. Mm-hmm. I think it can very, very easily mislead planters, where they're sitting in their study or they're sitting at the coffee shop, you know, tinkering with trying to keep their website active or dynamic with all these little updates, when in fact it's like, you got 40 people a part of your church. Like, none of those people are looking at your website at this point. Like, you don't need to be spending those extra hours every week doing that. Make it more static. Also, like, for visitors, if there's out-of-date information, you know, all the time you get onto a website and, you know, there's something post, the last time they updated their Bible study, you know, was from 2 years ago or something, you know? And it's just, that also communicates, hey, you're not about this. You're not really paying attention to your website. So why are you going to pay attention to me? Yeah. So I think there's a lot of, I would say, just wisdom. Until you get up and get going, keep your website as static as possible, so it's not getting outdated, it's not taking a ton of time keeping it updated. Or there are ways, and we'll talk about this in just a second, ways where you could update other platforms like social media, and it feeds into your website and automatically updates it. So maybe we want to shift into that. Well, last thing on the website, I would say, really big thing, a practical tool for your people, is the giving page.
Mm-hmm.
And again, in our day, you know, for my wife and I, how do we give? It's all online, right? Yeah. We're not writing checks or giving cash anymore. And this is where so many people are nowadays. It's got to be easy. Here's a link to give. Here's how you sign up. That's a really key component to have on a church website.
Yeah, not even just for your people, but maybe friends and family supporters that are far away. That's just a great way to encourage stewardship, for sure. Okay, so we talked about the website. A lot more we could talk about with that. But again, get help if you're not sure what to do with it. A lot of experts out there. Other ways of putting your branding in play would be through email. And this is something that we're all very familiar with. We all have probably multiple email accounts, but to have email connections where you can really connect with your supporters on a monthly basis, where you can send newsletters, where you can send just updates, internal updates. But it's all about just communication. Yeah, MailChimp, it's a great opportunity and an easy platform to make good looking email newsletters, email connections. But this is a good way to continually put your branding and your verbiage and your identity before people on a regular basis, just within communications. Anything you want to add to that?
Yeah. So MailChimp is, there's a lot of them out there. It's a free source you can use. Mm-hmm. Most churches probably use MailChimp or some type of thing. It has templates. You create email lists, right? People can sign up. So here's how we do it. We have kind of two major lists. One is our supporter list. And when we first started, we were sending out a monthly prayer update, right? And our supporters, like, genuinely, like, we're like, man, we need prayer in this. And they would respond and say, hey, we're praying for this. So it was a great way to celebrate God's work, but also say, here's where we're beseeching the Lord to do his good work in our lives. Mm-hmm. So supporters, that was like a monthly thing that we did. Now though, where we are, I do a weekly email. It's our weekly e-news, weekly update. And what's great about that is it's a far more, I don't see it as, hey, this is just here's what's happening this week as far as like a calendar. It is that, but it's also culture creation. You're reinforcing your culture and talking about what you value in that. So the email, I think, is a really powerful, really important tool that could be easily overlooked in the communication within a congregation.
Yeah, for sure. Really good. Social media. I think we probably all have a love-hate relationship with social media. We can see the benefits of it. I mean, most of us are on it. Sometimes we don't like to be on it, and yet we find ourselves, you know, looking at things because that's just where news is at. And again, don't want to get into that whole discussion now about, you know, AI generated stuff and all this, what is real or what is not. But the reality is that we are an online people, and to be where the people are is to also be connected within social media platforms. And so I'm thinking, you know, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, more, and they'll be more down the road too. What is the value of, or what are the ways in which a new church or even existing church can leverage social media for effective engagement, community, teaching, whatever else? What are some ways to do that rightly?
You might have asked the wrong person. Yeah. I have such a love-hate relationship, yep, with all things social media, you know, mm-hmm, Facebook and Instagram, YouTube. You're right. We're on it. You know, we live in a culture, sadly, that it's not too strong of a word, is kind of addicted to its use. And we know that. So we need to be really thoughtful, I would say, as churches and how we engage. This is something that, okay, it's, again, what are you trying to accomplish with it? It is a platform. The way I think about it, and some churches are different, some churches, they see it as, here's a way where we're actively encouraging our folks in their daily walk. Okay. So what they're putting on there is they're putting short videos, clips from their sermons, you know, maybe short little devotionals. And that's really good. That's a wonderful thing. That can take a lot of time. Again, some people will hire out companies and they'll literally take your sermon and clip stuff out and post it for you, right? Maybe you have someone in your church, you got a young person who's really, really gifted in that. Great. You use them for that. I would say what I have seen in church planting is often you'll start these platforms and you have them and you need to have them, right? But again, they can take just a lot of time. So the way we've approached it is pretty minimal updates. You know, another thing is if you are using these, you don't want to be putting just a ton of graphics on them with a lot of words. It's, mm-hmm, we are a very picture image driven society. So you see that with like what Instagram, it's all images. That's the idea. So people want to see more images, and that's another way that you're actually communicating what you value of what are you posting. You know, are you posting pictures of your people doing life together, worshiping together, praying together? That is going to communicate to folks what you're about. I would probably say, like, again, this is one of those things, start really slow and be really consistent in it rather than hitting it really hard, because this is just one tool in the branding marketing toolbox that can take a lot of time. Again, some churches, this is their big thing. They put a lot of energy into. What did y'all do? Like, when you were planning Shiloh, was this a big thing that y'all used? Was it effective? Yeah. What would you do today?
So there were different, you know, iterations of this when we started, because I think we grew to use it more effectively in some ways, in some seasons of our church than others. So there are times where I would do the work of, you know, recording the sermon and then snipping out, you know, a 3-minute thing and then putting it on our page and then boosting that video as a devotional, as an on-ramp for people. I did that for probably about a year. And that was interesting. It was effective engagement. And I've seen others do that. And you mentioned, you know, organizations that do that for you, because it was a lot of work. You know, I think there are seasons where you just kind of get lulled into just using your social media as announcements. Mm-hmm. And that obviously, you know, it is a part of it. It does help. Just because, you know, as a pastor, I know, like, man, those that are on Facebook are going to be, per statistics, you know, either middle-aged or older. And so how do I help them know where or what's going on? Well, I post something on Facebook. And that is another aspect of this, is generational aspects of the social media platforms, is most young people aren't on Facebook. They're on Instagram. And so if you're only doing Facebook, you're missing out the younger generation. Or YouTube is ginormous. And so I think for us, we just got so busy, and sometimes we had seasons where we really would utilize it, and other times where it just sort of became maintenance, maybe. And I think I've always appreciated more of a minimal approach too. However, I've also always thought, man, I should use this more. And even in my role right now, trying to think, like, how do I use this as a tool for effective equipping and training and engagement and communication? This is where people are. And so how do we do this the right way? Because we also, though, have all seen, whether it's friends, family, organizations, that use this in a not good way. And we, you know, eventually will probably block their posts just because we're tired of it. It's either too much, like every single day, or it's things that aren't encouraging or are just provocative, just to be provocative. So it's like, obviously, we've seen that within the church, too. And so this is where, you know, having some wisdom definitely brings into this topic of just be wise with your posting. That's a whole nother topic, really. But I think what we're trying to say right now is, like, this is a reality. Use it. And there's more. Like, I'm thinking of, like, meetup apps and different ways to connect with people locally. There's so many aspects that you can use in depending on the different generations that you're trying to just connect with, to foster that networking, foster those communications, and use it for engagement.
Yeah, no, that's really good. You're right. And this is where I think strategically every pastor only has so much time. And I think you have to give yourself permission. We have to give ourselves permission to recognize, like, we can't also play the comparison game. I think that's a dangerous, you know, dark kind of hole to go down, is like comparison. Of, hey, there are going to be some pastors who are just really good at using social media. There are going to be some churches that have staff members that can, you know, that's what they're dedicated in doing. So this is where you have to, you know, we throw this word out all the time, but it's such, like, strategic, i.e. you could say thoughtful, wise, right? Like, you can't do it all. You got to pick and choose what you're going to do. And it's much better to do less better than a whole bunch in a very mediocre way. Sure. So, and then maybe that's where I have kind of landed. Like, we use social media, but in a very limited basis, and use it to try to maybe push people towards, like, a more static things, you know, like our website. Mm-hmm. But it's not a major emphasis for us. So yeah, need wisdom in how to do that. What are other things that you would use brands? So we're talking about the website, you know, never huge. Emails is big. Social media is big. Are there other things that branding comes into play with?
Yeah, I think just your print media, and this is something that maybe all of us are very familiar with. You know, we've made brochures before, or postcards, or business cards, or all those different things that you actually put in people's hands physically. And I think, you know, even though we live in a digital age, it's still, print materials are effective. You know, whether you use them in mailings, or whether you resource your people to give invite cards to them, or whether you go canvassing. Print materials are tangible, and they're very versatile to use. And so I'd encourage you to think through that too. Sometimes you'll go through seasons where maybe you'll use a lot of them. Sometimes maybe you won't. Maybe you'll target them with specific events, or maybe they'll just be general. I think it probably depends on where you're at, also in the planting just timeline, what kind of resources you'll need. Sometimes you'll make a resource that all it is a QR code that you give to people, and or you leave places and you put at bulletin boards, and you leave at restaurants and it's just a QR code to your website, you know, different things like that. So, but having those print materials is also just another avenue to bring engagement and to be used for, you know, effective church networking, evangelism, outreach, all that kind of stuff. So anything you want to add to the print side of things?
No. Yeah. That consistency, you know, going back to the, where we, you know, what's this big topic about? It's about, you know, consistency of your branding. Mm-hmm. So using your logo. And if you work with someone, and so I'll just say very practically, if you're a church plant, you need to put into your budget $1,500, $2,000 to work with a graphic designer to design a logo, yeah, come up with a branding plan for your church, and then stick with it, mm-hmm, and use it. Don't try to get cute with it. Just stick with it and use it. It feels like a lot of money, but in the long run, it is so totally worth it to do that. So, because you are going to use it like on your bulletins, mm-hmm, and everything. You're going to put it on there.
Yeah.
So,
well, hopefully this was a helpful episode. A lot more to this conversation. Get help, reach out to people. But thanks for joining us today. Love to have your help. If you find this helpful, let us know. Subscribe, leave a review, share it with others. But if you're interested in exploring more about church planting, church renewal within the AFLC, we'd love to visit with you. Contact us at aflchomemissions.org. See you next time.